Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf Yud Aleph for holding Yud Amid Bey is the last line. First thing, Mar brings a simon. Zman Nosi Tzorach Di Simon. Tana Rabbanim. The focus of today's limud is going to be Lagabi the din of Ibur Hashana. Ibur Hashana, as everybody knows, means that we're going to add an extra 13th month. Make it a leap year, a Shana Mu'uberes. And Zokti Gemara, Tana Rabbanim, we learned in a Braisa. Ein Ma'avernas Hashana Ela B'Mizumanim La. When they would go and declare a new Shanim Uberes, they did it with a Bezdin of 7. Remember in the Mishnah we had a Machloikis, whether it was 3, or 3, 5, and 7. But this price, it goes according to Mandiyamar in our Mishnah, which was Rab Shimon ben Gamliel, that you had to have 3, 5, and 7. 3 Maschilin, 5 Noisin v'Noisnin, the Goimrin v'Shiva. So the Gemara tells us now that you could not just go and take any dayan at any time during the process, but pre-deciding on making such a Ibur Shana, making such a leap year, they had to go and invite the dayanim in advance. The Mizumanim law, if you look at the top, Rashi, Shezminon Hanosi Mibarev. They decide that Monday morning they're going to go and talk about and decide whether or not we're going to add an extra month. The 7 dayanim had to be chosen and invited in advance. They had to receive invitations, come for purposes of being ma'abed hashan. Gemara tells us a story, and the story is a fascinating story. Ma'asram Gamliel Shomar Hishkimuli Shiva La'aliyah. Ram Gamliel didn't go and call and invite the 7 persons himself, but rather his shamis or whoever was in charge, his administrator. He said, "Please go and invite 7 dayanim to the aliyah." Aliyah means the next, the upper floor. As we'll see in the Gemara, this was a popular place if people needed to be mimisamik, be able to delve into difficult, complex halachas. Up in the aliyah, it was easier to have a little bit yishuv hadas. We have in the Gemara Masechtas Shabbos as well, when they made the 18 gezeiros of Tumah, also they did it ba'aliyah. So here the Gemara tells us that Ram Gamliel asked his charge, the affair, whoever was in charge, call up 7 dayanim to the aliyah. Hishkim, the next morning he got up, umatza, and he counted the dayanim, and guess what? There weren't 7, there were 8, there were shmoinim. And he said, Omar, miu sha'olah shalei b'rishus, yeirat, whoever came up uninvited, zol d'chmoy chalzan, should please leave. Omar Shmuel HaKotten v'yamar, so Shmuel HaKotten stood up and said, Ani hu sha'olah shalei b'rishus, I came up without permission, v'loi le'ab rashona olisi, and I didn't come to be part of this august bezin of 7. To ma'abed hashana, elulmoit halacha lemaisa utstrachti. I wanted to know halacha lemaisa. How does this work? After all,
apprenticeship.
Exactly. Godol shimusho yosem milimudo. It's one thing you learn about in the Gemara. It's another thing being there in present, in person, and seeing what's going on. Amalei Sram Gamliel was very nice to Shmuel HaKotni. He said, "Shev bani shev, you could stay." Reuyes kol hashanim kulam lis'aber al yorcha. All of the shanim could be misaber through you. As we'll see in the Gemara shortly, Shmuel HaKotten was considered to be one of the great of the greatest, and therefore you are ra'ui for sure to sit on this bet. But there's nothing I can do for you, because after all, the Chacham said that you have to be pre-invited, and you weren't invited, so you're disqualified to be part of this rabbinical panel. And the truth of the matter is, says the Gemara, it really wasn't Shmuel HaKotten. Shmuel HaKotten was one of the 7 invitees. So Ibazoi, why did he say, it was me, I wasn't invited? El Inish Achrin, it was Taka someone else. He did it because of potential embarrassment. What was the potential embarrassment? He was afraid that if the real dayan who had not been invited would have to stand up, it would be very, very disappointing and very embarrassing for him, saying, "Hey, Yankel, you weren't invited. Was tustada aros, get out." Therefore, Shmuel HaKotten, being a an er lechid a tzadik a kudish. He said, Rabbi Yisai, I'll get up, I'll take the busha upon me. And the Gemara says we have similar stories. Ki hadi Yosef Rebbe b'kadorish. Rebbe was giving a shir, he was giving a drasha, and one of the Talmidim had eaten garlic that morning for breakfast. Ve'riach reach shum. And as a result, there was a garlic odor that permeated the entire atmosphere, and Rebbe could not give a shir under those circumstances. Amar mi she'achol shum yeitze ich beitach raboise machila. Whoever went and ate shum, aros. Amar Rebchia v'yatzu. Rebchia got up and he left. Amar kulam v'yatzu, and all of them left after him. Nebuch Rebbe was the only one left there for the shir. Meshach, the next morning, Mitzoy Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe l'Reb Chiya. Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe, the son of Rebbe, was now taking on the kovet of his father, and he said to Reb Chiya, "Amalei atu shitziarta the Abba, you're the one that caused all of this tsar for Abba by eating the shum and leaving, and therefore everybody left." Amalei, he said, "Chas v'shalom loite kizoyis be Yisrael. Chas v'shalom, I never would have eaten the shum and cause such a ruckus and such a problem for Rebbe. What's the reason why I left? Because somebody next to me or in back of me ate the shum, but he would be embarrassed to go and leave on his own, and therefore I decided that I would take upon myself this shame and embarrassment to say, I ate the shum. Abat le hayu dvorim me oilem se nishtemet se chakayim se gechem kashum nishant and nishnecht and nishzatech bin geboyen. I'm not a shum eater. But he shouldn't have the bizyonis. Where did Reb Chiya take this from? Not to be mevazeh someone. Mir Meir. What was the mas Mir Meir? This mas is a chnish tzegloim. The sign is stated in Braisa. Mas b'isha acha shabosel beis medrash asher Meir. There was an isha that came to the besmedrash of Reb Meir. Amr loyim, she said to Reb Meir, Rebbe, echon mikem kitshani bebiya. One of your talmidim was mekadesh me. Didn't live with me biznus. He was mekadesh me with bia, and there were two eidim that were present. They know that the kedushin was chal. However, the two eidim are not here, and I don't know who the young man was. Obviously, it was a dark situation, and therefore, chvayshish, I don't know who the guy is. And therefore, what this lady is complaining and saying is, Rebbe, find an eitzah for me. Either figure out who the young man is that he should go and now consummate the marriage through Nisuin, he only did Kiddushin, or he should give me a get. But otherwise, I am a living Iguna because I don't know who that person was that was Mekadosh me, and I can't get out of this limbo situation. And therefore, Omer Rameis Rameis got up, the cost of law get creases, he wrote a get creases on his own. And guess what? Venosnula gave it to her. Omdu kosvu kulam, venosnula. And everybody now followed suit. The entire Bismedish, all 50, 100 Talmidim, wherever were, they all gave her a get. So therefore, Mamanavsha, whoever the fellow was, he was Megarisher, and now she was able to go and remarry whoever she wanted to, except for Kahan. So that's all very, very nice. So the mayor.
And she can't marry anyone from there right now.
I'm sorry?
Shanisa is not Shanisa, so she didn't marry anybody else.
Yeah, but you don't know if she was with someone else. You can't.
In between.
None of those people can marry her then.
Why not?
Why can't they marry her?
Because if one marries her afterwards, and then no one's sure if he's the one who was with her before, it could have been someone else.
It doesn't matter. If there's 20 people, they all give her a get, what's the problem? Is there a problem?
One second. Unless any of them are kahanim, she could go and marry any one of them after the get, unless she married somebody else in between. If she didn't marry anybody else in between, she can go and marry any one of the talmidim, including Reb Meir. It would not be an issue. Anyway, Zot Yimara. So again, we have now three giants: Shmuel HaKotan, we have Reb Chiya, we have Reb Meir, all doing the same thing. They did not want to cause shame and embarrassment to a particular individual. Where did Reb Meir take this from, that he decided to go and write a get, and now everybody in this medrash wrote a get? He learned me Shmuel HaKotan. Shmuel HaKotan, the first story over here, that Shmuel HaKotan was...
It's one thing to go walk out.
Also, that he walked out of the shir.
Yes. I'm sorry?
That he walked out of the shir.
He walked out of the shir. He walked out of the... Reb Chiya was the one that walked out of the shir. Shmuel HaKotan was the one that claimed that he was the eighth unauthorized dayan sitting up there in the Aliyah and for making the Ibra Hashanah. Anyway, so Rameh learned from Shmuel HaKotten. Shmuel HaKotten, Meicha Gamalov, where did Shmuel HaKotten take this idea from? Mishchanya ben Yechiel. Who's Shchanya ben Yechiel? The Chzif. Vayan Shchanya ben Yechiel, Mibnei Elam, Vayoymeli Ezra. This is the time that Ezra Soifer is taking Yidden up to Eretz Yisrael. And he says to them, Anachnu mo'alnu belekeinu v'noishiv noshim nachriyois me'ami ya'oretz. V'yati yesh tikvah li'Yisrael al-zois. Mikvah li'Yisrael al-zois. What's going on is that Shchanya ben Yechiel is now confessing to Ezra. Now is the time that Klal Yisrael has to do tshuva. We're going back to Eretz Yisrael after being in Golus for the last 70 years between the Chorban Bayis Rishon and now the rebuilding of the Bayis Sheni. And he says, and unfortunately, we have all sinned. We have married Noshim Nachriyos Rachmon Litzlat. The truth of the matter, says Rashi, is Shechanya ben Yechiel wouldn't get close to Noshim Nachriyos. He's talking about other people. But he didn't want to go mimavaza other people by saying, Ezra, look at all of my neighbors, look at all of my Shechanim. That would be a bizayin. Therefore, he decided to take upon himself, we're all in this together. I'm also part of this club of Choytim, even though he was not. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's how Shmuel HaKotten learned, don't be mimavaz as somebody else. Take the responsibility and achrayis on yourself. Now, Shechanya ben Yechiel mehecha gomala. Where did Shechanya ben Yechiel learn this from? Yeshua. Tichsev by Yeshua, by Yom HaShem Yeshua, kum lech, kum loch. Why are you falling on your face? Chato Yisrael. What is this all about? This is talking about after the Melchemes Ai. Ai here doesn't mean an egg. Ai is the name of a place in Eretz Yisrael. And 36 people unfortunately were killed in the battle of Ai. Yeshua was very disappointed because he knew this is a Melchemes Mitzvah. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be Koivish Eretz Yisrael. How is it that these people died? So he asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Lama zata neifal penecha, don't be mispal. Chot Yisrael, the Yidin sinned, and that's the reason why, unfortunately, they're being punished." But Amalafonav, so now Yeshua said to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, "Rabbi Nishlan, mi chot? Tell me who sinned." Amaloi, so Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Yeshua, "Bchi dilterani, do you think I am a snitch? Do you think I'm going to go and tell you who's the one that sinned? If you want to find out, lechatel gerolis." Go and do a goyrel. Kachav, in fact, he went and did a goyrel, and they found that Ochon was the one that sinned. What was his sin? That he took the booty from the Muhammad, and Yeshua had announced nobody should go and take booty. Ochon did take the booty, and therefore he was the guilty culprit. But what do I see from this? The Kodesh Baruch Hu said about Klal Yisrael, Chot Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want to be Mevaza Ochan individually, and said therefore the Klal Yisrael as a whole did the sin. V'ibo yisema, others can go and bring a raya from mi Moshe d'chsev ad ona meyantem lishmar mitzvoysay v'soy roysay. What's the story about Moshe Rabbeinu? It's talking about those that had the Maaseh Mitamon. If you look at Rashi, Me'antem, it's around 18-20 lines to the top of the Amud. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I don't say Me'antem." Kulan bechlal, he referred to Klal Yisrael as a whole. Varikulan leyot lilkoit ele miktzas tichsev yotzman on lilkoit v'loy matzo. They went out on Shabbos to go and collect the mon. They didn't find any mon because Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't moided mon on Shabbos, but rather he gave biyoy mashishi lechem yimoyim. Two portions on Friday, and that's in the core of our Lecha Mishnah that we have on Shabbos. Anyway, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu scream at the bad guys, the ones that went out to be loikate from the man, which Chazal told us was only Dosan Vaviram and a small group? Moshe Rabbeinu he didn't want to go and pick out anybody individually. So we see both in the case of Yeshua and for the case of Moshe Rabbeinu that don't pick out someone individually, and that's why Shechanya ben Yechiel said to Ezra, we all have this problem of the Noshim Achriyos, even though he really was not a guilty party whatsoever. And based on that, Shmuel HaKotten said, I am the guilty party, even though he wasn't guilty at all. He was one of the invitees. And based on that, that's what we had, that Rameyer was the one that said that I'm going to go right and get creases for everybody. And the same thing by Reb Chiya. That's why Reb Chiya, he learned from Rameyer to go and say that he was one that Eichol Shum, even though it was somebody else. The Marsha and the Marshal and other Mepharshim ask, why do you have to go and say that Shmuel HaKotten learned from Shechanya, In Shechan you learn from Yeshua, or you learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody should learn from the original one. Exactly, right? And each one waxes at length about the differences between each one of the stories, that each one went one step further than the one before him, so that the final one in the Gemara could not have learned from the original source, but each one just kept on adding a little bit. Ayin b'marshal u'b'maharshal in the back of the Gemara. One question that we do have is at the very top of the Amud, it says that Rabbi Gamliel said, okay, Shmuel HaKotan, you can sit here. Shmuel, Rabbi Gamliel was under the impression that Shmuel HaKotan was one of the invitees, and he said, it's okay, you can sit here, no problem. And we're going to do the Kiddush, the Ibur HaShana, based on the other seven. How could he do it based on the other seven? One of those other seven was not Mizumanim La. And we said in the Braisa, Ein Ma'av Mizushana El Mizumanim La. And therefore Shmuel HaKotan is going to sit on the sidelines. And he's going to be learning and looking, etc. And the other seven are going to go and say, okay, Ma'ubar HaShana, we're going to have a big problem because it's got to be with Mizumanim. And one of the seven was not Mizuman. So Shmuel HaKotan was a real nice guy in the sense that he didn't want to embarrass one of the fellow Dayanim. But one of the fellow Dayanim was not invited. He's not qualified or competent to go and issue the psak on Ibur HaShana.
He wasn't competent? He just wasn't right. He couldn't be very competent.
Guy. For this purpose, he wasn't competent or qualified. You're absolutely right.
It says that you have to be an expert.
I don't mean to say that he wasn't
qualified, perhaps, but he wasn't invited. Yeah. Invitation. Yeah.
For these purposes, he didn't have all the qualifications that he was. Right, exactly right. I don't mean Chas V'Shalom to suggest that this dying was an Amoritz. He may have been the greatest of the great. But he had not been invited, and therefore, for these purposes, he was not qualified to go and issue the psak. And in fact, in the Yerushalmi, it says, Rabbi Gamliel sensed that Shmuel HaKotan was not the bad guy. Therefore, he allowed for there to be a discussion. And then he said, okay, Rabbi Yisai, Shkoyach. And he went and released everyone. And he invited a brand new panel of seven to come the next day to issue the new psak. And therefore, in fact, this panel was disbanded, because one of them was not Mizuman La, and we didn't want to embarrass that fellow, and therefore they called together another bezin of seven for the next day. Tanur Banan, fifth wide line, Zok de Brais. Since we spoke about Shmuel HaKotan, we now have a shtickle agadata about Shmuel HaKotan. Tanur Banan, Mishmeis Nevi'im Achroinim, Chagiz Chayver Malachi, those were the final Nevi'im among the Treyosar. Nistalka Ruach HaKodesh, we saw from that point on, no more Nevu'ah, no more Ruach HaKodesh. The Avot became how you mishtam shebabasko, but nevertheless, even though they no longer had Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh, they did have a basko. What's the definition of a basko? We know basko is God's a heavenly voice that tells us it's similar to, in a sense, to Ruach HaKodesh. It's one darga less. But what's the definition of basko? So the Tab Toisvis tells us that basko means an echo. What means an echo? It's not the original coil, it's a derivative of the original coil. Just like when you ever have an echo. Somebody says something, and then you hear an echo, the same thing repeated a second time. He didn't say it the second time. It's the basko. You see the top toises. Yesh omrim. Shloi ho yishoymin coil ayoyts from the Shemayim. They didn't hear the coil directly from Shemayim. El mitoich oyse coil yoytse coil acher. A person makes a clap, and afterwards you don't hear the first coil, you hear the second, the echo. That's how you get the name Baskel. It's a derivative of the original coil. Okay, anyway, so Baskel came down from Shemayim. Back to our Gemara. The Talmid Chacham were sitting together in the Aliyah in Beis Guria in Yerichai. The Nitna lay in Baskel in Shemayim, and a Baskel came out from heaven. Yeshkan Echad. There's one amongst you, Shiro'i Shetisha Olav Shechina. There are two Gersois, Yom Moshe Rabbeinu, Nish Moshe Rabbeinu. Shiro'i Tisha Olav Shechina, Ka Moshe Rabbeinu. Elishayim Doida Zakoy Lekach. The truth of the matter is, he has the Madregos of Moshe Rabbeinu, but the rest of the door is not Zoicha, that he should be Mashra Shechina on Klal Yisrael. In terms of his own merits, he would bring the Shechina down to be among us. But the rest of the door, unfortunately, is not Zoicha. who is this Basco talking about? Yesh Echad Kan Shirosh Tishkol Shchina. That's Hillel Hazaken. Okay, Shemais Omrulov Hay Chosid Hay Onav Talmidei Shel Ezra. He said Hillel Hazaken that he is similar to Moshe Rabbeinu. Zugin the Mefarshim. Hillel Hazaken was similar to Moshe Rabbeinu in a number of respects. Number one, Moshe Rabbeinu lived 120 years. Hillel Hazaken lived for 120 years. Number two, Moshe Rabbeinu was manik of Klal Yisrael for 40 years. Hillel Hazaken was manik of Klal Yisrael for 40 years. Number three, Moshe Rabbeinu was onam me'oid mikol adam ashal paneu adama. Hillel Hazaken was also a tremendous onav. And therefore, that's why they said that Hillel Hazaken was similar to Moshe Rabbeinu. And when Hillel Hazaken passed away, Amr Olav, they said about Hillel Hazaken, Hay Chosid, Hay Onav, Talmidoi Shel Ezra. He's following in the footsteps of Ezra, Vos Epis Ezra, because both Ezra led Klal Yisrael back from, where Ezra himself left Bavel and went up to Eretz Yisrael, and he was the Manik Ador. Hillel Hazaken also originally was in Bavel, and he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he became the Manig, he became the Nasi of Klal Yisrael at that time. You remember the Gemara Masechtas Pesachim says that they had one time that Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos, right, which has all types of halachic issues. Even today we have issues about Erev Pesach Cholios B'Shabbos. The main question at that time was, they're going to Shech the Korban Pesach, how are they going to take the sakin, the chalif, to the Beis Hamikdash for purposes of shechting? They asked all the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael and nobody knew. And then they said, oh, there's that young fellow that recently came up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, let's ask him. And he said to them, Rabbi Yisai, what you have to do is you go and put the knife in the hair, in the mane of the animal, let the animal carry it to the Beis Hamikdash. And in fact, the next day, everybody did that, as Hillel Hazaken had said. Anyway, we see from that, and then the Gemara says, what a shame for all the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. They didn't know we had to have a refugee from Bavel go and tell us the halacha, and from that point on, they made him the poisik, the gadol, the nasi. So, therefore, Hillel is similar to Ezra, that he was making oilish al toira after coming up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Shuv b'machas, another time, hoy mesum malia b'yavne, again, who is that? Oh, so that's how we get into this story about Shmuel HaKotten, because we started off at the top of Shmuel HaKotten. When he passed away, he's following the footsteps of Hillel, who had followed the footsteps of Ezra. And now we know why this Gemara is being learned at this time, because unfortunately, this is now an introduction to the kinnis that we say Nebuch on Tisha B'Av, when we talk about the Asura Haruge Malchus. So before he passed away, Shmuel HaKotten said the following, Shimon the Yishmoel Lecharva. Shimon is referring to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who is the Nasi. Yishmoel is referring to Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. The both of them, unfortunately, are going to be killed by the sword. You remember when you start off the kinnis about the Asar Ruge Malchus, choosing who should go first, B'Shem Gamliel the Nasi, or B'Shmuel ben Elisha the Kohen Gadol. The Chavroi and other Chaverim, other peers and colleagues will go Liktola. They'll be killed by other forms of death. What are those, says Rashi, for instance, Rabbi Kiva, the Masrekish of Barzel, that they took those terrible combs of Barzel, of iron, and Nebuch, they combed them to death, they scraped them to death, Rachman al-Islan. And Rabbi Chanan ibn Trajan, Bisreifa, Nebuch, that they burned him, Nebuch, with the Torah, rolled around him. Bishar Amma and the rest of Klal Yisrael will be Labiza, will be for booty. In other words, Nebuch the Goyim are going to pick on them or take them as slaves. Va'akon Sagian Asidin Lemesi Al Alma. And many great tzaris are destined to befall the world and specifically Klal Yisrael. So therefore, this is what Shmuel HaKotten said before he passed away. And we see from this that he taka had Ashtikl Ruach HaKodesh Ashtok Ashtikl Baskol, that he was able to predict all of these events to come after his passing.
What year did Hillel Hazaken pass?
When did he pass away?
His time was...
His time was still when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, so it had to be before the Chorban Beis Hamikdash.
Before 78.
Before 70 or 68 of the Common Era. Hmm. Exactly right. Now, how many years? So maybe 50 is 100 years.
Before the... Before
before the Churban. Yeah, that's my understanding.
And the Asram Haru Gemalchut Hayu, they were in the year 70 or in the year
130? They weren't even together in one time. They were spread out. We read in the Kinnis as if it all happened in one day or in one week. It was really, there was a period of time between one and the other.
Was that the period after Churban HaBet HaMikdash?
Yes.
To my understanding, yes.
Rabbi Kiva was killed after the Bar
Kokhba Rebellion. Okay, so 135.
Many years later.
Yes, it did happen afterwards, right. Well, Yehuda ben Bava, Bikshu Loi Mekev, about Yehuda ben Bava, who was Nebuch Utsa, one of the Asar HaRugim Malchis, they also wanted to say about him, Agan Zehesped, Hai Chosid, Hai Onav, Tamida Shel Hill, or Tamida Shel Shmuel HaKotten, or Tamida Shel someone. However, they weren't able to, Al Shenitva Sheshah, She'ein Maspidna Al HaRugim Malchis. They weren't able to make a spade on the HaRugim Malchis. Why not? Says Rashi, Mepnei Yiras HaMelech, Miharul Koivran. If they're going to start making long espedim about the Ruge Malchus, this will be an affront and an offense to the Melech. Here the Melech condemned the person to death, and here you're saying what a wonderful, great guy he is. So the Melech might get so upset he wouldn't allow him to go and be buried. Or he might cause tzaris for other Yidin. So therefore they said, you know what? We don't want other tzaris, the Shinginuk tzaris. Nebuchadnezzar buried him without a befitting hesped.
It's interesting. Chassid.
Yes.
When it says Ahu Chassid, it's either Yehuda by Eloi or Yehuda by Eloi or Yehuda by Baba.
Mm-hmm.
So Hai Chassid, in a way, the Gemara says it about him indirectly by calling him Ahu.
Very nice. Shkoyach. Beautiful. Tanaban. In the Abernas Hashanon Kein Yirtze Nosi. If you want to go and do an Ibra Shana, you have to have the permission, the consent, the acquiescence of the Nasi. Nasi means the one that was in charge of the Sanhedrin, like we had before Ram Gamliel. And the Gemara tells the Master Ram Gamliel, Shehalach Lito Rishus, Eitzel Sultan Echad Shebesuria, Vesha Alovai. Ram Gamliel had to leave the country to go and visit with the Shultoin, with the government in Syria, to do Shtadlonis on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And at that time it was necessary to be Ma'aber the Shana. As we learned in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, you can ma'abed Hashanah until the end of Adar. Once Rosh Chodesh Nissan hit, it's already too late. You can't go and say, oh, we changed our mind, we're going to add another Chodesh Adar. So at this point in time, Ram Gamliel was out of the country, and they had to ma'abed Hashanah. We just said now you can only do it in Yir Tzenasi. So the Gemara says they did it with Kintz. The Ibrus Hashanah Al Menas Shiyir Ziram Gamliel. They said, you know what, we're going to do a conditional Ibur Hashanah. We know that Ram Gamliel is going to arrive in 3, 4, 5 days, but it's going to be too late at that point. It's going to already be beyond Rosh Chodesh Nissan if we're not in the Abba Hashanah. So therefore they made an Ibur Hashanah on the condition that Ram Gamliel would be masked. Kshavar Ram Gamliel came, the Omar, and they told him the story. He says, right today, yah, ich bin masked. Nim Zeshan Buber, so you see, therefore, they were able to do it with that Tanai, and it worked, even though they didn't have the consent beforehand. They had the subsequent consent that worked l'mafre.
And if he hadn't consented, would it be Pesach instead of Purim?
It would have been Pesach, exactly right. Without his permission, it would not have been effective. Exactly.
So when they did the Ibra Shana, so did they observe Purim and Adar Rishon then, because they weren't sure if they were going to do Adar Sheni?
It depends. In this particular case, they had to do it in Adar Rishon because no decision had been made. But in other times, they could have made it already in Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev.
I see. So if they have it in Adar Shana by 15th or by the 14th of Adar, then it's they observe for
a month. Exactly right. Tana Rabban, Ein Ma'amres Hashanah L'Kein Ha'Yisrael Tzricha. What the Brisa is saying is, you cannot willy-nilly decide, it's a good idea, we should add another month, sure, it's a good idea. No, there got to be very good reasons for it. So you can only do it if Klal Yisrael needs it. What means drachim ksharim? It's now getting to the end of Adar. Klal Yisrael is making preparations to come up to Eretz Yisrael, to be oil regel, and to bring the carbon Pesach on Pesach. The problem is that all of the roads have been destroyed as a result of the very, very heavy rainy season, which we just went through winter. They didn't have paved roads like we had today, and nothing had dried out yet because it was a very late winter, and it's an early Nissan, an early Pesach. And what's going to happen is half of the people are going to get stuck in the mud, and they're never going to get to Yerushalayim in time for a Karban Pesach. So Mamnei Adrachim, because of the muddy roads, as well Mamnei Agsharim, if any of the bridges is not stable as a result of the heavy rainfall and perhaps snowfall in various places that caused some of these ksharim to fall into disrepair. Therefore, you're allowed to go and postpone Pesach for 30 days by making an ibrishana. As well as the tanuri psachim. The tanurim, explains Rashi, that they had in the good old days were made out of cheres, and they were not stored at home in their kitchens or somewhere else, but they were typically placed in the chotzer, either in front of the house or in the backyard, but it was not inside the house. And during the winter season, as a result of the constant rains, the rains caused many of these ovens to wear out somewhat, and therefore they needed to be repaired and maintained, and perhaps you had to go and make a brand new oven. And as a result, people were busy with their ovens. So, apparently, under normal circumstances, if you had, after the winter season, you already started into the spring, and it starts getting warmer, so these tanurim would warm up. Until now, they were all water clotted, were full of water, and as a result of the baking sun, they'd bake in the sun, and these tanurim would be back in good form, or at least you'd have enough time to go and repair it, or go and maintain it, or buy a new one, etc. Anyway, if you have a problem with the tanuri psachim, again, you can go and push off the 30 days, because everybody in Klal Yisrael has to go and roast his Korban Pesach with an oven. What happens if a telegram came to Yerushalayim that there are people that left Africa and Australia, Kolis Yisrael, far away, Nekrum Kaiman, they're en route, however, all the flights have been cancelled and the boats are out of here, and whatever, and they're not going to get here in time. Add them another 30 days. If it happens to be because it's a late winter and it's snowing, if it's cold, that in itself is not a good enough reason. If as a result of the shelling and the cold, the roads are muddy and you can't pass the roads, that's a good reason. But the fact that it happens to be inclement weather, that's not a good reason. Let them go and take along umbrellas, let them take along snow shovels, that's not a good reason. If you have people that live in Golis who have dilly-dallied and delayed, and they haven't even left yet, and they're saying, give us another 30 days, we're not going to get here in time. And you should have left 3 days earlier. Why did you leave so late? That would not be a good reason to be ma'aber the shan. Turn about him. Don't be ma'aber the shan because of gedoyim and teloyim. A gedi and a tle are young shepselach that you can go and bring for Karban Pesach. However, as we know, Karban Pesach wasn't just for one person. They tried to do the ganze mishpoche and a bunch of menuyim. So you can have a one Karban Pesach, 20, 30, 50 people. Each one has to have a kezayis of Karban Pesach. What happens if that year the gedoyim and the tloyim were all mugger? Mugger means they were all very skinny and thin, scrawny, and there was not a lot of flesh. And therefore, each Karban Pesach, he could only have a chwais 8 menuyim, a 10 menuyim, because it's just not enough kezayisim to go around. Oh, let's delay Pesach for 30 days and fatten up all of the shepselach in the meantime, says the Braisa. No, no, no. You don't push off Karban Pesach. You don't push off the 30 days. You don't add 30 days because of Gdoyim and Tloyim to fatten them up. Gdoyim is referring to the Toyrim. As you recall, all of the Yoldos Aniyos had to go and bring a pair of either pigeons or turtle doves, Toyrim or Bnei Yoinim. What happens if the Toyrim are still too young? We don't have that many candidates for Toyrim. Now, the difference between a Tor and Ben Yoyne is that a Tor has to have reached a minimum age. The Ben Yoyne has to be not have reached a maximum age. The Ben Yoyne, by definition, have to be young. Toyrim have to be old. There aren't enough Toyrim to go around. So therefore, we should go and push off 30 days because all the Yoldesen are going to come up now. Be oyle le regel to eat the Karban Pesach, and they're going to need all of these toyrim. There won't be enough, says Rashi. Okay, so no toyrim, but there are bnei yoina. So therefore, the bnei yoina were multiple. There were enough of them, and therefore, that's not a good enough reason to say there are no toyrim since he had enough bnei yoina. Aval oisin sad lishana. What you can do, however, is use one of these factors as additional support to go and be ma'abed shana. What does the Gemara mean? We're going to see on the Omid Beis and Miyat Shem shortly that one can go and be ma'abed shana for two out of three reasons. The three reasons are because of Chodesh Aviv, or Peiroi Se'ilon, or Tkufa. And the Gemara is going to explain what those mean on the Amid Beis. We're going to talk about it, Miyat Hashem. So two out of them are enough to be Ma'abed Hashanah, and one alone is not enough. Says the Gemara, you're right. One alone, you would not be enough, but I can add to it the situation that we don't have enough fattened Gedoyim and Teloyim, or Gezolos, or Gezolos that have not aged yet, so you can use them as a sad, as further support for being Ma'abed Hashanah. Ketzad, give me a real example. Rabbi Shim Gamliel, Rabbi Shim Gamliel sent out the following message. Moidon anachnu l'choin. We are being Moidia you. The Goizlaya rekichen. That the Goizolos are still young. The Imraya the Arkin. On the side it says the Adkin. Imraya means the Tzemer, which means the young Shepselach, are still thin. And we haven't come to the Chodesh Av. The Chodesh Av is one of the three reasons given in the Amud Beis to Ma'abed Hashanah. The Shafis Milza Ban Poi, and therefore it has appeared good in our eyes. We have therefore decided that we've added now 30 days to the year. We've been Ma'abed Hashanah. So this was the official letter or proclamation that went out from the Bezen Shtibel, from the Nasi. Rabbi said, we're being Ma'idia you, that because of the young age of the Goizolos, of the pigeons, and because of the thinness of the Shepselach, and because of the Chodesh Oven that has not arrived yet, therefore, Shapris Miltzman, boy, it's good in our eyes, we've been moistened. So, what has the Gemara proven from this story? We've proven that you only need one of the three reasons on the Amid Beis to Ma'abed Hashanah. Even though the Gemara said the Amid Beis, you need two good reasons. One good reason is because of Chodesh Aviv. Lo Yimata, Lo Higia. And I'm adding one of these additional as a sniff to what we just said. Now, bottom line is, the Braisa says that we moisef 30 days. Who's the one that sent this out? Rav Shimon Gamliel. Freitim ha-meisvei, kama Ibn Hashanah. How much is Ibn Hashanah? So, Tanakam, Shloishim Yayin. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Aymer, Chodesh. Chodesh means 29 days. Then Rav Shimon Gamliel just said now 30 days. And now he says 29 days. Amar HaPapa, Ratzu Chodesh, Ratzu Shloishim Yayin. What Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying is, you can do either one. The Bezin can decide to make a 30-day Ibur, or a 29-day Ibur. When adding other shiny, it could be other azai, other azai. Either a 29-day month or a 30-day month. Yes?
Isn't it dependent on the end of, when they're being Ma'abed Hashanah, they're saying it's Adar Sheni instead of Nisan.
Mm-hmm.
But with the determination if it's holy or kosher, it
will be at the end of the month.
End of the month.
And the Mefarshim ask that kasher. Mefarshim say, L'chayda, don't we have to wait until the end of the month to see when we see the Kiddush Havana, the Nulavana?
Then all there we go, right?
Yeah. So there's a number of answers, but one, the main answer is that the Bezin can decide in advance that because of the cheshboinus of the year, we don't want to push Pesach off too many days, or it's not enough 29 days, we have to do 30 days. Part of the cheshboinus will be, and they'll say that this month is officially crowned a 29 or a 30 day month in advance, and Rosh Chodesh is going to be only on day 31. Don't even bother asking the Edom whether they saw the Levana, not the Levana, makes no difference. We're going to start the new Rosh Chodesh on day 30 or day 31.
But they would we learn the Rosh Hashanah, they would have the Edom come anyway, even just so they wouldn't to avoid people becoming lazy about it.
That they did in those cases where it was cloudy and therefore they weren't able to go and have anyone decide, or where it was so bright that everybody said, well, you don't need me, don't bother. So therefore, to incentivize people each time they came, mask it. But here, if they announce we're not going to take the Eidus in advance, people will know and they won't bother coming.
Who determines it today? Today is predetermined. The calendar.
Today is predetermined by the calendar, and the Gemara says that Hillel Zaken was the one that was misaken the calendar because he saw, according to what the Gemara, Hillel Shaini. One of the Hillels in the Gemara decided that we're going to go make and establish a calendar all the way up to Yemois HaMashiach, because since the Gemara said that this Ibur Hashanah has to be Dafka made in Yerushalayim by seven Dayanim that were on the status of the Sanhedrin, you can't just go and take any rabbis. Therefore, he said, this unfortunately may fall into disuse. He established the calendar for all years in Mitzvah Tol Mashiach. Hopefully, by next year, we're going to have again based on the Sanhedrin and on the Bezin as opposed to the calendar. Anyway, Tochazit. Now the Gemara throws in a footnote. What's a footnote? Look at the difference between the older takifim from the previous generation, the takifim meaning those strong guys, and the soy, the basroi, to the young, new anovim, the new, the later generation of anovim, meaning of modest people. What does the Gemara mean? The sign you're going to see a price now. Ma'isav Ram Gamliel. Show Yoyishim al Gav Mal Barabais. The previous story was about Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and now we're talking about Ram Gamliel, presumably his father or perhaps a great grandfather, because there were a number of Ram Gamliel, Shim Gamliel, Ram Gamliel, Shim Gamliel. Anyway, so this Ram Gamliel is what the Gemara is talking about, the Takifi Kadmoi. What happened with this Ram Gamliel? She Yoyishim al Gav Mal Barabais. He was sitting on one of the steps of the Harabais. Well, Yoyichan and Soifer Haloz Oymel Afanav, and Yoyichan and Soifer Haloz. I guess there was a famous Yoichanan Sofer at that time. He was standing there.
Haloz is
a
name of...
Haloz means that one. That Yoichanan Sofer. Which is that Yoichanan Sofer? Apparently there was one that was well known. He was standing there before Ram Gamliel. And he had three pieces of cloth, paper, parchment, papyrus, ready to write out proclamations and letters to be sent out to Yidden everywhere. It's Omalai. So Ram Gamliel said to Yoichanan Asayfe, Yoichanan, toil igris achada, take the first one of the three pieces of papyrus or what have you, uksoiv, and write on it the following message. Le'achna b'nei gli'lo'a ilo'a. Achna means to archenu b'nei golil ho'elyoi. U'la'achona b'nei gli'lo'a tato. And Achenu b'nei gol hatachtoin. Shloim chan yaski, and on the side it says yaski li'olam. Well, this is a form of greetings. We would say today, shalom aleichem. What it means literally is shloim chan, peace, yaski li'olam, you should prosper with peace forever. And therefore, it's giving him a very nice greeting. Shalom aleichem, v'smach t'rabayse. Now continue the message. Moedon anachnu l'choy. We are being my dear you. This man be ura motel afrushe maestro mi matana de zaysob. What is all of this about? We have a din in the good old days that people had to go mi mafrish true mois u maasrois. Aha. Okay. What happens if I have, in fact, tvua? And I mafresh my truma and maaser. So my truma I have to give to the kohen. My maaser I have to give to the levi. Maaser I have to give to Yerushalayim. Maaser I have to give to aniyim. People make a mistake and they're under the impression that as soon as you have the new crop, you immediately have to go mafresh this and give it to the kohen, this to the levi. What you can do is you can store it up. Meaning, number one, you can go and store up tevel even before being mafresh. Just don't eat it. Number two, even if you've been mafresh your truma and maaser, you don't have to immediately give it to the first kohen you meet. You can leave it and give it to makirei kohanim. You can give it to your friends kohanim. Or if you have no friends kohanim, wait until you make a friend a kohen and you'll give it to him at that time. And the same thing for the lady. The same thing taking up to Yerushalayim. You don't have to do it immediately. You can have patience, Rabbi said. But at some point you have to give it to the kohen. You have to give the maaser to the lady. When is that point? So the Torah tells us, every third and sixth year, or fourth and seventh year. In other words, every 3 years you have to give it. It's a machloikis between Rashi and other Rishonim, whether you give it in the third year and the sixth year, or this is the fourth year and the seventh year of the Shemitah cycle. What do you do at that point? Make sure to give away all of your truma to the kohen, give all of your maaser to the levi, give all of your maaser sheni, take it to Yerushalayim quickly, go and give the maaser only to the aniyim. What happens if you did that? Great. If you didn't, then on Erev Pesach of one of those years, just like you have to go and destroy the chumetz, you have to go and destroy the Truma Meiser, etc. You can't leave it any longer. After you do that, in addition to saying, Kol Chamira V'Chamira D'Ikeh B'Shusi, then you also make the statement, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisraelim, Bi'arti HaKodesh Men Abayis, Begam Nesat L'Levi, and I did everything that you wanted me to do, Kechom Mitzvoscha, Asher Tzibisani, Le'yavad Mitzvisechem, Le'shechokhti, etc., etc.
If you destroy it, do you still say that...
I believe so. The Gemara tells us now, what's the story? So this was one of those years of Bir Meiser. So now Ram Gamliel is sending out message number one, and he's saying, Achenu b'nei dorim, he's saying to him, sorry, the Achenu b'nei glilo ilo and the Negilot HaTor, they had a lot of olive trees, and they used to go and manufacture from the olives, they used to process olive oil, and when you process olive oil, you take the zeisim and you put them in a kli, which is called a ma'aton. That ma'aton would cause the zeisim to warm up, and as a result of the combustion, eventually these zeisim would split and oil would flow. So Zokta Nochma, he says, Shloim Chen Yaskei, it's now the Zman Biur of your Trumas and Mises. La Furushi Masra, give out your Mises from Matana de Zesa, from the Mat and from these Kalim in which you have the Zesim. Vitaligras, and you'll get your Schar. Mat and Zesa, period. Finished. That's the end of the first Igeres, the first letter. Letter number two, Vitaligrasa. And now, again, Rav Gamliel is saying to Yochanan Tzoifer, take a second piece of paper and write, Uksoyben, write the following. Lachna b'nei Doroima, to our brothers who live in Doroima of Eretz Yisrael. Shloim chon yaskei. Again, Shalom Aleichem. Moidon anachna l'choyim v'bing moidiyu. Dizman bi'ura mota l'afrushi masra. Mi omrei shivlaya. What the Gemara is telling us is parenthetically, that up in the Galil, the main crop, or one of the main crops was olive trees, and down below in the Dorum, the main crop was grain. And therefore he's telling them, Rabbi Isai, all the grain that you have there in the shibboleths and the kernels, anything that you got, make sure to go be mafish shetumas and maisus, because this is now the Zman Biur of maisus. Now, v'tol igres achod, and now take igeres number three, uksoiv, and write on it. La'achna b'nei galvosa bibavel. He's now addressing the third message to all the B'nai Goliois, people that are in Babel, Modai, and anywhere they are outside of Eretz Yisrael. Shloim chan yaski li'olam. Here you see the word li'olam appears, and that's why there, the previous two igrusin, apparently it dropped out. That's why on the side, you have this marginal comment, so it's a shas, to throw in li'olam in the previous two as well. Maiduan anachmal chayim being maidiyayu. And the words now are virtually identical to the story on the Amud Aleph. The Gozlaya Rikich, and that the pigeons are young. The Imraya Arkin, or Adkin, and the Tzemer, meaning the Shepselach, are thin. The Zimna Daviv Alaymat, and it's not the Zman Chodesh Olav yet. The Shavra Milzaban Poi, and therefore it appeared to be good in my eyes. And now the difference between the letter on Amud Aleph, and now here is Ba'anpe Chavirai. Not only did I think it's a good idea, but my colleagues also thought it's a good idea to do what? We added 30 days. So, Zokti Gemara, what's the difference between the story in the Amud Aleph and the story in the Amud Beis? The story in the Amud Aleph, Shimon Gamliel, who apparently was a Greisa Onog, said, Shapra Mitzvah Poi. I thought it's a great idea. Yet, here by Ram Gamliel, he said not only Ban Poi, but also Ban Pe Chavirai. He didn't go and take all the credit for himself. He shared the credit with his Chavirim. Rabbi Gamliel, as we know, was a very tough individual. How do we know? Because Gemara says in Brachis,
he was put in.
He put Rabbi Yeshua to shame. He said, Rabbi Yeshua, you have to come to me on the day of Yom Kippur.
Exactly. So he's saying no. And not just me, even Rabbi Yeshua is masking to me. In a way, he was a tough guy, but he's saying...
You're already giving the answer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can we first at least address what the question is? The question is, says the Gemara, can you imagine Takafi, Takifoi, Kadmoi, which is Ram Gamliel. He is the Takif. He is being so gingerly, he's being so nice and so idle and saying, not only did I think it's a good idea, but all of my colleagues. Rav Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, who's in the soy, he's apparently a greiser onav, and he takes all the credit for himself. Does that make sense? It's like Ben Hapachol. Everything in Mara Dilma Basa Davru. It's talking about after they were Mavir him, meaning back in the Sechses Brachas, because of all the trouble that he made for Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara says that the Chacham decided, Am Gamliel, Ois Nasi. And after that, they reinstated him as Nasi together with.
He was only away for a short time.
But
it's still a
Nasi. And they reincorporated him together as a partnership with Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah. So now there are three pshatim. Now, what does the Gemara mean? Dilma Basa Davru. One pshat Barry was already suggesting a moment ago, and that is that as a result of the fact that Ram Gamliel was pushed away from the Nesias, he became, if you will, somewhat demoted, and he became intimidated. And now, although they went and restored him to the Nesias, he said, you know what, I learned my lesson not to be such a takif. He became agresa onov, and therefore from now on he's not talking only about himself, but also my colleagues. That's how Rashi does. Tosis learns that he no longer had the soul and exclusive nesius. And we said in the Gemara, the only way that you're going to be ma'abed shana is if the Nasi agrees. Rav Gamliel couldn't decide on his own. He had to go and bring a Blazman Azariah into the fold and ask him, Vajakti, my fellow Nasi, do you agree or don't you agree? He obviously agreed, and that's why he had to say, not only I thought it's a good idea, but my chaver, meaning a Blazman Azariah, also thought. That's a third choice for the top. A third pshat, very interesting pshat, is not the avruhu till basad the avruha. What means basad the avruha? It's going on back on the ma'isa on the Amud Aleph. That it's talking about that he wasn't in town. He was out in Syria doing shtadlonis, and they did ibrishana without him. And when he came back, he says, "I consent." But now he's sending out that official message and proclamation to the Klal Yisrael. He's giving a stamp of approval, and he's saying, Rabbi Yisai, I'm not sure that I would have done it on my own, but I did it together with my chaverim, because they are the ones that really did it, but I consented to it. Therefore, he had to go and refer to them, because they are the ones that implemented in his absence on a conditional basis. And that's why he threw in the words, the Abdi Chaveira. Nice pshat, right? 33 pshatim, turn it about. For three reasons, we're ma'abed hashana. Al ha'oviv, v'al peiros ilan, v'al hatkufa. Vos meint oviv. Rashi brings in Chumash, Rashi brings over here, that you have to make sure that Pesach falls at the chodesh oviv. Now what means oviv? Oviv means that the tvua has ripened. The tvua, Baruch Hashem, that was growing throughout the winter month, it's not just that Baruch Hashem, it grew, but now it's ripe. Ready to be cut, ready to be harvested. If it's not ready yet, push off another 30 days. That's number one. Number two is Peiros Ilan. Now, Peiros Ilan don't normally mature and don't normally ripen before Pesach, but they do ripen before Shavuos. So we had to ask all of the farmers, how does it look, the trees, the fruits on the trees? So it look like they will be finished before Shavuos. Now, why is it so important that they should be finished before Shavuos? Because Shavuos, we bring the Bikurim. We bring the Bikurim from the new ripened fruits. So they gotta be ripe. So we figure out, will they be ripe by Shavuos or not? If they won't be ripe by Shavuos, we push it off 30 days. V'yala
tkuf. That's
something that's our... Sorry? Let's take a look at the Rashi. The Rashi is about a little bit past halfway down the Omid. Val Peiros Ilan, do you have that Rashi, Dr. Goldfarb?
Yeah.
Zok Rashi. If you find that the Peiros Ilan, Misacher Bishulam, they're ripe, their ripening will be delayed after Yontif of Shavuos. Ma'abrin, Sha'atzeres man havois bikurim dechsiv, ubiyem avikurim. Vimloy yavien bevoye leregel, tzerch letroyech velalis pamacheres. What about all those farmers that own orchards in Haifa, or they own it in Beersheba, or in Tel Aviv, or whatever? It's not like today, you just go and take a bus, or you take a cab, and you're there in 2 hours, 1 hour, 3 hours. It would take a maganza 2, 3, 4 days to get from wherever. And they were just there in Yerushalayim, and they're going to have to come back again. So therefore, they were delayed, so that they would have the fruits ready in time to bring the Yoyim HaBikurim. That's number two. Number three is al-Tkufa. Listen to Tkufa. Tkufa explains Rashi. This has to do with the relationship between the solar cycle and the lunar cycle. You don't want that the Tkufas Tishrei, which means the Tkufa of the winter months, that it should only fall after Chag. Tishrei is really not the winter, it's really the autumn, the fall. The winter is really called Tkufas Teves. But anyway, you want that the new Tkufa, the new season of autumn or fall, should happen before Chag, before Shukis. And if you see that it's going to be delayed after Shukis, then with Ma'aber we add another 30 days. So any one of these three reasons is a good reason to do it, but you don't do it based on reason one. It's got to be based on two out of the three. If you only had one of the three reasons, that wouldn't be enough. But remember, in the Amud Aleph we said you could use as a sniff to one of the reasons about the fact that you don't have enough goizolois, or you don't have enough shepslich, which have fattened in time. So those are not a primary reason, but a secondary reason. If one of the two reasons that we're being ma'abed shana is because of chodesh av, means that the grain is not ripe yet, then everybody is happy. What does Igmar mean that everybody is happy? Explains Rashi. What happens if the tvua is ripe already and you can already cut it? There's only a problem with the tkufa and the peiros ilan, and then the ma'abed shana, people are upset. Why are people upset? Because there's very little yoshan flour left. Everybody wants to go and use now flour from the brand new chitim, but they can't go and harvest the chitim yet, and they can't go and make flour yet. They gotta wait until the karmen oim is brought on Pesach. So if you're gonna wait another 30 days, ay, 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 we gotta wait. Everybody's hungry, everybody wants matzahs, and everybody wants chametz, and everybody wants.
It becomes more expensive.
Rashi doesn't focus so much on the expense as much as you are marech aleihem the iser chodosh. You're pushing off yet another 30 days. We have to wait for the new tvua. So, if you have to wait because the tvua is not ready yet, okay, Baruch Hashem, it's not ready. We got to wait. But if the tvua is ready already and we're still pushing it off 30 days, then you are causing them a little bit of angst that they cannot have yet the benefit of the new tvua. Reb Shimon Gamliel oimer ala tkufa. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, oh, making the tkufa. But he doesn't say on the tkufa what? Iboilu al tkufa smechen, that if the reason why they're pushing off the year is because it's tkufa, that's why they're happy. Or ya al tkufa ma'abrin. Or is he saying that tkufa has to be one of the reasons, or the tkufa alone would be enough of a reason to be ma'abrin? You don't have to have three reasons. Tkufa is enough. We don't know exactly what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel really meant. Tanurban, Ashloisha Rotz Ma'abrin Zashonim. Eretz Yisrael is divided up into three portions: Yehuda, Eva Yarden, Vihagolu. Al shtay mehem me'abrim, val achaz mehem ein me'abrim. In other words, if you have a problem, for instance, on the Tvua or the Peiros Ilan in the Galil and in the Eva Yarden, even though Yehuda everything is fine and dandy, the wheat is already ripened and we already have. The Peiros will be ready before Shavuos, etc. But in Yehud and Galil, or in Yard and Galil, they won't. Eva Yard and Galil. Hashem im Abram. Therefore, you take two out of the three. If two out of the three have a problem, you make Iber. If the problem is only in one of them, you don't do Iber Hashan. If one of the two is the reason why we make everybody is happy. When you bring the carbon, you're supposed to bring it from the barley which is growing in Yehuda. And therefore the Gemara is telling us is something fascinating. The Gemara said before that people are smechen if the reason why they're lengthening the year is because of the fact that the wheat or the grain is not ripe yet. Everybody's happy because the Isser Chodesh doesn't affect them because the grain is anyway not ripe. It's not a very good reason to have the Simcha. The Gemara is telling us over here is that if the reason why they're being Ma'abed Shana is because the local Tavua in Yehuda is not ready yet, everybody is happy. Why is everybody happy? Because the Oimer comes from Yehuda. Explains Rashi, b'diavad, if you don't have Tavua ready in Yehuda for the Korban Oimer, you can go and bring your barley from the Galil or from Eiver HaYarden. It doesn't have to be brought from Yehuda. But if the reason why they are lengthening the year is so that we'll be able to bring the Oimer from Yehuda, everybody in Besmedrish, everybody in Klal Yisrael is Besimcha. Baruch Hashem, we're able to bring the Oimer Lichat Chila from Yehuda, as opposed to bringing it B'dievet from one of those other places, from Galil or Eiver Yad. Hagebaldi Yisimcha. Tanaban, Im Abbas Hashanim El Yehuda. The actual Ibra Shana has to take place in Yehuda. That's where they have to make the declaration. The Mebru Begalil, Mu'uberes B'diyavid, it's kosher even Galil. Hayyid Hanani Ish Oinai, Im Mebru Begalil, Aino Mu'uberes. He disagrees. Why does he say if you made it in the Galil, even B'diyavid, it's no good? On my cross, it says Mepasi. Leshichnoi Sidrishu Uvasa Shama. Called Drishish Ata Doirish. Anytime you want to go make Azah, Grease, Drish, Grease, Adrosha. Like Ibra Shana, La Yuel Vishchenish Lamakim, where's the Shchenish Lamakim? In Yehuda, by the base of Migdish, and not in the Galil.
What happened after the
Beitamish? Turn upon Im Amis Shana V'im Ibrua Balaila Einamu Beres. You cannot be ma'abed shana except b'yoyim, then b'bu b'layla. If they did it at night, it's not mu'uber. In other words, if they decided an ibra shana at night, no good. Then mekadosh the chodesh el b'yom. You can only mekadosh the chodesh b'yom. Then ketshuv b'layit. You did it by night. Ain't a mekudosh. It doesn't work. How do you know it's got to be dafka b'yom? On Rebbe my crush in pasuk. Tika b'chodesh shoyt v'kes b'yom chagenu. Ezo chayish a chodesh miskasa boy. Have yom er. You were asking about when they did in Chutzlar, so that's the last toys over here. Imam Shana of Yehuda, you see the toys? But Rabbi Kiva, Ibra Shana ben Neerdo, Neerdo of Chutzlar, Shani Rabbi Kiva, Shlai Neach, Kamois Vetsa. So look at the toys who discusses this. You're welcome. Back, we're getting back to Gemara. The Gemara says, you can be Mekadosh the Chodesh, Ela Biyoin. What's the Raya? Says Rabbi Abba, says in the Pasuk, Tika Bechodesh, Shoyf, Bekes, Liyoim Chagenu, Liyoim Chagenu. And what means Bakesa Liyem Chagenu Ezel Chag Shachodish Miskasim Oyhem Oymer Ze Rosh Hashanah. As we all know, we even refer to Rosh Hashanah as Kesa. We say about the Aseret Mechivu Ben Kesa Li Asar. Why is Rosh Hashanah called Kesa? Because the Levana is Mechusa on Rosh Hashanah. Why is it the Levana Mechusa? Because it's the brand new month. It's the only yontif where you have that the Levana is mechusa. All the other
in the middle of the month.
Exactly right.
This is the sixth
or seventh, and Pesach and Sukkot is always in the middle of the month, and even Chamishus Ba'av. In talking to Yisrael, all the middle of the month. Even Purim is the middle of the month. Chanukah is Chofei. Okay, of course these are all the Rabbanim, somebody said. But the point is, the only Yonta that falls out when the Levana is Mechusa is on Rosh Hashanah. Pasuk talks about Bakasa Leyoim Chagenu. Eze Chag Shachodesh Meskasa Boyev Oime Zer Rosh Hashanah. Uksiv. And the next Pasuk says, Ki Chokli Sol Hu Mishpat Lil Keyakit. Now Mishpat Biyoim, Mishpat we know has to be done during the day. We learned that from other psukim. V'hoye biyoyim hanchiloi, biyoyim hanchiloi, nachlis ha-mishpah, it's got to be by day. Av kiddush ha-chodesh biyoyim, kiddush ha-chodesh, all has to be by day, and therefore if you do it at night, no good, you're not yoytze, it was not mekudesh. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai.